This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Tide, written by L.J. Shin, performed by Rebecca Snow.
Chapter 1. I hate going to college. Not that my parents give a damn what courses I take. They only care that I get my communications degree, especially after I failed at my first year of college. So they're paying fuck knows how much money. They could tell me the exact tuition amount, I'm sure, for me to sleep through journalistic reporting class, studying a profession I never want to work in. Fuck my life, right? I make the commute from my Walnut Creek apartment to Diablo Hill School of Art almost every day. The university is located between San Francisco, Oakland, and my internal wish to kill myself. I'm putting in my time and counting the weeks, days, hours, and nanoseconds until graduation. I have 2 months and 12 days left until I'm free. 2 months and 12 days until I have to face the harsh, unforgiving reality. I have no idea what I want to do with my life. At the moment, my biggest plan for the future consists of takeout pizza and rewatching the first 6 seasons of Sons of Anarchy. I'm nurturing a monogamous, not at all disturbing relationship with Charlie Hunnam's work right now. Don't judge. Today is a Tuesday, so I'm taking a hard-earned nap after creative writing and ethics classes. I always doze off in journalistic reporting. This shit would make a hyperactive kid snore his way through Halloween. Charlie and I are just about to recreate the part where he impregnates Tara Knowles, though I should note our on-screen chemistry is much steamier. When I feel a sharp elbow jabbing into my ribs. Okay, this nudge is definitely not Charlie's. Ouch! Wake up, dopey! I raise my head slowly, wiping the drool off my chin as I struggle to unglue my eyelids. What's up? I ask the owner of the elbow. Final assignment. My best friend, Shane Kinney, jerks his chin towards the whiteboard at the front of the room. His messy blonde hair swishes like he's in a goddamned Head and Shoulders commercial. I blink at the board. I'm too sleepy to decipher all the letters and words. It's called a sentence. Jesus, Blair, you have to start taking fewer night shifts at Ned's. I need the money. Groceries are expensive. I pull my hoodie down to cover my face. Thankfully, class is over, and everyone is stuffing laptops into their backpacks. Shane stretches, curling his fists as he yawns. Hypocrite? He's bored, too. His belly button makes a cheeky appearance from underneath his shirt, and I poke my pointer finger into it, making a funny sound. You could move back in with your parents, he suggests when I shove to my feet. It would save you some money. Dumpster diving will save me money too, but I'm not desperate enough to do that either. Are you saying you'd rather be homeless than live with your folks? I'm saying we could be having this conversation while drinking a double shot of espresso outside. I don't know, B. You look like you need more than coffee to pull through the day. He winks at me and grins, picking up both our bags. I smack his shoulder with the back of my hand. Seriously? Pot at school? Beam me up, Scotty. His smile widens as we pour into the flood of students streaming down the hallway. Once we grab our coffees and take a seat on our usual secluded red bench in a corner of the main quad, Shane produces a cigarette pack he keeps especially for his rolled ones. He lights up and passes a blunt to me. I take a long drag, closing my eyes and savoring the sunshine. So what's our assignment? I finally ask. Shane gives me the brief. Apparently, while I was busy reliving steamy scenes with CH, Professor Pennyman, who is crazy anal about her reporting assignments, gave us our biggest challenge yet, a 2,000-word, in-depth piece on a topic that is totally foreign to us. Shane explains. She's randomly assigning each of us a subject, but she wants to switch up gender roles. She basically said that the guys could expect to write about crap like romance novels and postpartum depression, and the girls are going to dig deep into stuff like muscle cars and first-person shooter games. We'll get our individual topics via email tonight by 10 p.m. And oh yeah, switching isn't allowed. Great. I already hate journalism, and now I have to write about a subject I most likely want nothing to do with? Yeah, but you hate everything. Maybe it's time to branch out a little. Shane knocks his Levi Glad thigh against mine. Shane's a journalism major. He's been smooth sailing the whole university experience. In fact, he was the one who suggested I take this class so he could help me out with this course. He's wearing his usual uniform of jeans, Timberland boots, and a t-shirt with something funny written on it. Today his shirt says, "Step away, coffee. This is a job for alcohol." He always smells of cinnamon, Abercrombie cologne, and opportunity. Always. Shane is crazy cute, but he's just not for me. He's like the brother I never had, and I'd like to keep things that way. "What are you up to this weekend?" He glances sideways at me with his teal eyes. I shrug. "I'm working Friday night. I'll probably sleep all day Saturday, then roll up a blunt and catch up on The Walking Dead or something. Care for some company?" "Can the company bring avocado egg salad sandwiches and sweet potato chips from Pender's? Can Floyd Mayweather dodge a punch?" Shane opens his arms wide with a grin. "I have no freaking clue who that is, but I'm taking a wild chance here and guessing the answer is yes."
"You're killing me, B."
He laughs, hooking his arm around my shoulder and pulling me into a friendly hug, messing my hair with his free hand. "What am I going to do with you?"
"Dirty, naughty things that will make my twin sister blush?"
I arch an eyebrow and feign a devilish laugh. Shane jumps off the red bench like he's been slapped. Jaw clenched, he strides to a concrete trash can, discarding the evidence of our blunt. "I've gotta go," he tells me. I cough, wondering why my little banter pissed him off. It's like I pushed the very wrong button. It isn't until almost midnight that I remember about our journalistic reporting assignment. Between shopping at Target, visiting my parents, and an early shift at Ned's, I managed to forget all about the promised email. I fire up my 5-year-old Dell, and it occurs to me that I'm probably the only person under 30 in the Bay Area who doesn't have a MacBook. Izzy, my twin, says that a 23-year-old working on anything else is the uncoolest thing she's ever seen. But I secretly believe I'm way cooler than everybody else for giving zero fucks about what anyone else thinks. My email screen finally graces me with its presence and notifies me of 2 unread messages, one from Professor Penniman and the other from Shane. Apparently he's over whatever upset him earlier today. I open Professor Penniman's email first. "Miss Stern, as per my instructions in class, I would like a 2,000-word article, no less, excluding the headline, on the subject below. Your whole grade depends on this assignment, so please take it as seriously as I do. I want you to interview people who work in the industry. Follow them around to understand the ins and outs of their line of work. Your article is due the first day of exam week, June 1st. This should give you plenty of time to complete the assignment. Please do not email me back, call, or otherwise approach me about changing your subject. You may ask for further guidelines or clarification about the assignment itself, but the subject is mandatory. Subject, MMA. I wrinkle my nose. And just what exactly is MMA? The initials sound vaguely familiar. A government agency, maybe? I jot down the 3 letters so I won't forget to Google them, and then I double-click on Shane's email. He wants to know what subject I got and why I'm not answering my texts. Oops. I put my cell phone on silent when I was having dinner with my parents. House rules. I turn on my phone now and see a text from Shane asking the same question. I type, "MMA, WTF? Shane replies almost immediately, "Mixed martial arts, lucky you. My roommate Josh works out in an XWL gym in Concord." I text back, "XWL? More initials?" Shane translates, "Extreme Warrior League. Josh says you're better off trying to find another gym because this one is full of jerks. Anyway, I logged into their website. Talk to the general manager slash coach, Dawson." He includes a phone number for the gym. Then he texts, "Don't forget our TWD binge Saturday night, TTYL. I realize he signed off before he even told me his topic. Maybe he was so busy helping me he forgot. The thought makes me smile. Where would I be without Shane? We've been friends forever. He grew up down the street and has been my closest friend for as long as I can remember. When Shane traveled the world for a while after high school, I felt like I was missing a limb. I'm not exactly a social butterfly, and Shane has always stuck by me. Even when we were kids and Aiden, the lazy-eyed kid down our road, built a tree fort and invited everyone, Shane and Izzy included, except me, to come and play. Shane preferred to stick around with boring Blair. We caught fireflies with jars, and because my mother was concerned and guilty about my lack of social life, she pretty much let us raid the kitchen and gorge on sweets. I know Shane dates a lot of girls. Sometimes he has less time to hang out, or he receives a sassy text or steamy call when I'm around. But he's a great friend. Me?
I'm saving myself for a fair-haired Englishman who is oblivious to my existence. I enter Dawson's number into my phone, walk to my bathroom, and start filling up a bath. I dust the coffee table while the water's running. My twin Izzy's the one footing the bill for the rent and pretty much everything else. I'm the one who does all the cleaning. It sucks, but so does everything else about being boring Blair in comparison to sizzling Izzy. I run the magic swipe along a picture of my sister and me. I'm petite, slim with curvy hips, lily-white skin, full lips, and dark, wavy hair with blue tips. I have freckles sprinkled on my nose and high on my cheeks. I guess I'm, like, air hostess hot, meaning I look better than the average girl, but nowhere near as perfect as those girls in the magazines. But Isabel? She is that girl from the magazine cover. Taller, slimmer, and prettier by a mile. Higher cheekbones, deeper shade of blue eyes, and the aura of a goddess. Izzy basically makes me look like a beta version of her. So, at 18, instead of debating what to do with her life, like me, she decided to become a model and make tons of money off her beauty. Currently, Isabel Stern is traveling the world as a lingerie-wearing Elizabeth's Passion fairy, visiting everywhere and living the life, while I'm attending a shitty university and serving lukewarm beer in a neighborhood bar to make ends meet. Even so, when I'm not working night shifts at Ned's and she's not rolling around on an exotic beach in her underwear, Izzy and I have a routine. I hear my phone ringing, walk back to the bathroom, turn off the faucet, and slide a finger into the water to check the temperature. "Izzy!" I answer and instinctively distance the phone from my ear. "Sissy!" my sister squeaks back. She may be gorgeous, but her high-pitched voice could crack double-glazed windows. "Where's your skinny ass today?" I sit on the edge of the bathtub, circling my finger in the water. "I'm in Singapore. You'd love it. It's so different and awesome and full of skyscrapers." Had an awkward incident when I landed here, though. Apparently it's illegal to chew gum here, especially in botanic gardens. I almost got arrested. We laugh as I slide my body into the water, letting out a sigh. "You in the bath now?" she asks. "Yeah, you?" "Yep, it's giant. Twice as big as the one in the apartment, and it has jets." "Hey, you think we're freaks for liking to do this every day? Like, is it a kinky twin womb thing?" "What, have baths while on the phone?" I chew my lower lip. "It's not exactly Dr. Phil material. I'd ask my therapist if I could afford one."
"You need money? You know I can always help you out."
"No." I clear my throat and quickly change the subject. "Anyway, what time is it there? I'm just about to head to bed."
"Like 1 p.m.
"Taking a bath at lunchtime? You are a bit of a freak."
Okay, Blair. At least I'm not boring.
Izzy does have a point. I chatter about my MMA assignment and about Shane acting weird. Izzy didn't even realize we were taking a class together. I must have forgotten to mention it. She doesn't seem very interested, though, and cuts our usual 30-minute phone call short. After she hangs up, I flop onto my bed with my laptop and decide to type MMA into YouTube. Might as well see what I'm dealing with here. The first video that pops up has a guy being knocked out so brutally that the referee has to jump between him and the other fighter to stop the match. One fighter is unconscious, the mat beneath him as bloody as a CSI crime scene, while the fighter on top is still trying to pummel his opponent into submission. The crowd is eating it up, encouraging more with claps and excited screams of "choke him out" and "arm bar, arm bar." I'm not into being mainstream or judgmental. Some will even consider my profanity, ripped jeans, and nose piercing uncivilized. Join the petition led by my folks. But even I recognize how sick this is. I'm not sure where the arts part fits into mixed martial arts. It's definitely not in the ring, where I just witnessed a guy being choked until he turned blue. Further research into the subject reveals that there's a heated debate about whether or not MMA should even be legal. The defenders of the sport say it's consensual, but hey, crime can be consensual too. This is pretty vile, I think, as I slap the laptop shut and squeeze my thumbs into my eyelids. I'm so going to fail this course. Again. Chapter 2. The good thing about getting MMA as my assignment topic is that the sport seems eager for any kind of attention it can get.
I don't have to go through any snotty secretaries, PR agents, or legal obstacles to score an interview at The Grind, a gym in Concord. All I have to do is ask. In fact, the only problem with mixed martial arts is that it's mixed martial arts. I figure the violence in the first video I watched was a fluke. I thought that MMA must be like WWF wrestling, with a lot of flamboyant role-playing cowboys and heavy metal knights. You know, when men in customs jump on each other after a theatrical 20-minute speech. But I was wrong. During my in-depth research, yeah, fine, I Googled it. I discovered the men of MMA literally beat each other up to oblivion. There's blood. Everywhere. There were black eyes, torn ligaments, broken bones, and enough medical staff to open up a field hospital at every match. It is all real and painfully brutal. My initial conclusion is that any guy who would want to be an MMA fighter must be brain damaged. When I hit Dawson Alba with this psychological assessment this morning on the phone, the trainer serenely confirmed, "Yeah, the guys all get hit pretty seriously in the head. Fun times ahead, right?" As I pull into the parking lot of The Grind on Saturday, I'm shivering, not because it's a chilly afternoon, but because the thought of researching this bloody sport is grossing me out to the max. I stare at the huge, two-story hangar on the outskirts of town. The XWL logo is proudly painted in red, white, and black on the front and sides, the stylized symbol seemingly visible from every freeway in the Bay Area. I park my pink Mini Cooper among the black Ram trucks and Jeeps. I inherited the Mini from Izzy for free, so I shouldn't complain, but it's so devastatingly pink it stands out among the other testosterone-fueled vehicles like a juicy pimple on a prom queen. A half dozen guys stroll by and peer through the window, staring at me like I had got lost on my way to the nearest mall. A tall guy shakes his head in amusement as I release the custom-installed pink-patterned Hello Kitty seatbelt. "Damn you, Izzy!" I want to yell that a supermodel chose the car, not me, but keeping a low profile seems to be a higher priority right now. I stumble my way out and light up a blunt, frowning at the guy through my Wayfarer sunglasses. Another discard from Izzy, as I attempt to calm my nerves. I'm not going to smoke the whole thing. Just a few drags to take the edge off won't do any harm, right? Say what you will about my pink car, there's no mistaking me for Izzy in her designer clothes once I step out in my Subhumans black tee and boyfriend ripped jeans, my messy bun tied carelessly at the nape of my neck. We're a different species, she and I. I take another deep drag, frowning. That's it. Breathe in. Breathe out. I'm getting kind of good at it. Yo, you're not allowed to smoke here. It's the tall guy again. He's wearing a black skull bandana mask covering the lower part of his face. Presumably because he thinks it makes him look badass. It kind of does. I'll put it out in a second. I grunt my irritation and puff a cloud of smoke skywards. Oh man, you're smoking pot? He jerks out his skullcandy earbuds, puffing his cheeks. He's athletic and muscular, his chest and thick arms bulging through his black XWLT. I scan his gray sweatpants and flip-flops and catch a glimpse of the huge snake tattoo crawling up from his back onto his neck. Crap, I need to say something. We're outside. How the hell is it your business if I smoke here? I puff my blunt coolly, but inside, my pulse is racing. Keep walking, cowboy. No, not that, you idiot. I want to shut up. Correction, I need to shut up. He is three times my size, pure muscle and male arrogance, and he has this dusky stare that makes my skin tingle. But I can't seem to stop myself, and to my horror, my mouth continues firing more stupidity. If you care so much about your health, secondhand smoke should be the least of your worries. You realize getting punched on a regular basis damages your brain. It affects memory and all kinds of other stuff. Fantastic, Blair, you basically just called the guy brain dead. My chances of leaving here in an ambulance have just dramatically increased. He closes the space between us and plucks the blunt from my lips, flicking it to the other side of the parking lot with his thumb and forefinger. My mouth is still agape when he pulls his bandana down to his neck, exposing his whole face. That's a very bad idea, he warns in a low, husky voice. His breath smells of mint gum and mouthwash, and he's standing so close I can feel the heat pulsing from his body. Despite the fact it's ludicrously hot today as it is. You mean smoking or running my mouth at you?
My voice cracks. I'm tongue-tied. It feels like my mouth is full of cotton wool.
Both, he says, removing a lock of hair from my forehead.
Wow. I mean, wow. Hot parking lot dude is so sizzling, calling him beautiful would be the insult of the century. He's lucky his nose is slightly crooked, like it's been hit one too many times, because otherwise, he'd be sickeningly pretty. What the hell is he anyway? Latino? Asian? Mixed Caucasian? He looks like he's been photoshopped by a bunch of horny teenagers. He has pouty, perfectly shaped lips, slanted Asian eyes, and the chiseled Brad Pitt-like bone structure girls shit themselves over. Quick reminder, I'm a girl. I'm standing in hazardous vicinity to him, and I'm clearly unbelievably fucked.
It's some car you drive. His bedroom eyes narrow to a spot behind me.
Problem? I bat my eyes slowly, trying to look bored.
Nah, figures.
He's so pretty I can't concentrate on what he's saying. Or what I'm saying, for that matter. Then he pivots in the other direction, and before I realize what's happening, poof, he's gone. It takes me a minute or 10 to regroup. I lean back against my hood, practicing deep breaths and trying to calm down. Everything is under control. I just had a brief encounter with a personal space-invading maniac, who happens to be unfairly gorgeous. But the gym is huge, and my chances of running into him again are slim. Besides, Dawson is waiting, and I can't afford to be late. I need to focus on this assignment in order to graduate. Mom and Dad will kill me if I fail again. No, I will kill myself if I fail again. I enter the gym, and I'm greeted at the counter by a ginger-bearded dude with a man bun and a black XWLT, just like the one hot parking lot dude wore. Hi, I have a meeting with Dawson Alba. My name is Blair Stern. I offer a polite smile and try not to look like the place is freaking me out, which is difficult, especially since the gym is painted in floor-to-ceiling black. I adjust the messenger bag hooked over my shoulder and try not to feel conspicuous in my ripped jeans and black chucks. The scent of aftershave, sweat, and testosterone assaults my nostrils. I see tons of Iron Man-sized dudes punching stuff and rolling around on the floor, and even spot a few women lifting super-heavy barbells. These women mean business and are nothing like the soccer moms at my mom's gym, the kind on treadmills with their makeup still on, walking at the pace of a dying turtle.
Okay.
Ginger-bearded guy looks distracted. Sorry, can't leave this place unattended. He shifts his weight from one foot to the other. The boss's office is on the other side of the gym. Let me get someone to show you the way, cool? I nod. So they are not all bossy jerks. Ginger-bearded guy is nice and helpful. He motions someone over to the desk while I drink in the place with my eyes. Here we are. This is Ty. He'll take you up to Dawson's office, GBG announces behind me. I turn around to greet the Good Samaritan who's come to my rescue, and my jaw drops to the floor. Hot parking lot dude is standing in front of me. Sexy galore. You! I squint accusingly for a reason beyond my grasp. Other than putting out my blunt, he hasn't done anything wrong. Then again, I guess it was a no-smoking area. And, well, pot is still illegal and stuff. Hot parking lot dude now officially identifies as Ty, fights the slow smile that's spreading on his lips. Is he laughing at me or with me? My cheeks flush and I look away immediately. GBG's eyes shift between us.
You two know each other?
No, we both answer in unison. I think Ty is still looking at me. I wish he'd stop. Why am I embarrassed? It's very unlike me.
Right. Then, Ty, could you show Blaine where Dawson sits?
It's Blair. I grip my teeth. Right. GBG waves my correction away dismissively. I follow Ty's broad, triangle-shaped back as he separates the ocean of gym rats like Moses parting the Red Sea. His dark hair is buzzed extremely short, and I study the tattoo of a giant snake winding up his neck. The snake's face is a zombie skull that looks like it's about to sink its teeth into one of his ears. His ears look deformed and lumpy, so I try to focus on them and his tattoo, soothing my out-of-control hormones. Final verdict? Ugliest tattoo to ever be inked on human flesh, but Ty somehow pulls it off without looking like a serial killer. The guy has such an attraction to death that I'm surprised he's still alive. Skull bandana, skull headphones, skull tattoos. Other than my pounding heartbeat, We walk in silence. Ty takes a set of metal stairs, bypassing an elevator, probably hoping to avoid the awkward elevator conversation. Can't blame him. I don't know what to say, feeling embarrassed about our earlier encounter. And also because it's becoming evident that hormones are taking over brain. He's not my type, mind you. I always go for the preppy hipsters. Guys like Shane, who are into deep stuff like indie music, Beat Generation books, and... Lord help me, his butt is just so firm and round when he climbs up the stairs. How is this even anatomically possible? I don't trust myself around this guy. My body can get rebellious sometimes. Charlie Hunnam can testify. Upstairs, Ty leads me down a catwalk, then stops and tilts his head at a closed black door. That's your guy. Thanks. I send him a tight-lipped smile. He nods grimly. Sorry about earlier, I say. I rarely smoke pot. I may have relapsed the last couple weeks, but it's not a recurring thing. Oh my God, I'm babbling like an idiot, and I bet he doesn't give a damn. Get to the point, Blair. I'm just so out of my element here. I circle the floor with the toe of my chucks, arms behind my back. I guess what I'm saying is I had to... Well, never mind, thank you. It's amazing that I'm studying communications, considering my lack of ability to articulate a full sentence. Ty nods again. Geez, are you a chatterbox or what? I say, shut up for a sec. He ducks his head to hide a slight smirk, and that's when I see it. His unbelievably boyish smile, with dimples and all. No wonder he's trying to fight it. He looks like such a sweet, innocent guy wearing this smile, even with the tattoos and buzzed hair. Before I realize, I'm smiling too. We're beaming like two idiots, for a bit longer than socially acceptable. I look down and he fiddles with the black rubber bands on his wrist. Ty is the first to wipe the grin from his face. Take care of yourself, huh? He takes a step back, momentarily allowing me to pick up the pieces of my heart without having my butt metaphorically kicked. And stop smoking pot. Yeah, whatever. Ciao. I knock on Dawson's door and watch Ty already heading back the way we came. I can't help but feel a pang with his departure. He must be a mind reader, because just when I'm about to let out a gloomy moan, he turns back in my direction. I know you'll do the right thing, Blake. He's walking backwards as he speaks. It's Blair. I see those dimples again. Is it wrong to be bummed about the fact he doesn't seem to want to remember my name? Then Dawson Alba is opening the door, and I remember why I'm here. Alba wears his 40-something age well and looks military sharp, with a natural tan and broad shoulders. He sits with his feet propped on his desk and talks to me enthusiastically about the XWL and what they do. Even though he knows my article will never see the light of day, he's eager to help. Way this thing works, every MMA gym has a group of elite XWL fighters who participate in professional matches. I've got a few, including two stars that are actually top fighters in their leagues. They travel all over the world, meet international opponents, and fight them to the Extreme Warrior title in their unique weight division. They make a living out of this thing and have dedicated fans all over the world. But clearly, they also have to make a living. You can't rely on the few bouts you take every year and the occasional endorsement. So they also work here and teach people what they know about the art. I admit, up until now, I thought MMA was about illegal cage fighting and broken teenage boys looking for redemption. I bite back an uneasy giggle, thinking about Ty. The posters behind Dawson's head of upcoming events make my skin crawl, and so does the crazy twinkle in his eyes when he talks about violence. But that's exactly what my guys are. His mouth curves into a smile. What they were, at least. Now, they're a sliver of the American dream. Power, money, brutality. Can't get more primal than that. I thank Dawson and arrange to visit his gym at least 4 days a week while I'm working on my assignment, but he isn't satisfied with my huge commitment. Nope. Dawson insists I should participate in one of the gym's classes, see what all the fuss is about. I explain I'm grateful for the opportunity, but that I would probably kill myself by accident if I ever tried MMA. After a long exchange of no's and yeses, we settle for me participating in a class of my choice sometime next week. Yay, right? Wrong. I'm so out of my depth here. The sport, the blood... The men? The tie? I'm not even sure how he drilled himself into my head, but I'll probably outgrow or encounter within the next couple of days. It looks like brain and hormones are in for a fight. Just as long as heart stays out of the ring. The next day, I sleep until noon. Shane bailed on hanging out last night. Still, I'm exhausted from the thoughts swirling in my head in a jumbled whirlwind. The XWL gym is like a dancing flame. I'm intrigued, but I don't want to get burned. I wish I could get Professor Penniman to let me change topics. I'm not looking forward to visiting the XWL gym again today. Dawson called after our meeting, and he's arranged for me to meet with his two stars this afternoon. No classes, he promised. Just the interviews I asked to conduct with his two elite fighters. Well, at least I won't have to sweat. I collapse on the couch and consider asking Izzy for advice. She sent a bunch of pictures of Japan to my phone. She's moved on from Singapore to Tokyo. The doorbell interrupts just as I'm about to call her. The chime shoots me out of my seat. I'm not expecting anyone. I gaze through the peephole and see Shane staring right back at me, pretending to hump my door theatrically. Laughing, I open the door, watching him troop into my luxury apartment. 9-foot ceilings, designer finishes, and all that jazz. Holding a box from the bakery near my complex. The sweetest affair. His favorite. My favorite. Such a pleasant surprise! I offer a devious grin. Don't make a guy blush. I'm talking to whatever's inside that box. Cupcakes! You know how much I love pleasing you, B. His last words seem to hang in the air as he swings my fridge open. He pours himself some coffee with milk while I demolish half the box in one go, then let out a delicate burp. Always a lady, he teases, though I know Shane well enough to recognize that he does consider me too much of a tomboy. He's always been drawn to the girly type. Izzy is the one exception. She's about as girly as they come, but he seems to almost hate her. I never understood why they don't get along. Neither of them explained why they stopped talking altogether shortly after he traveled abroad. And while I tried to milk some info about their beef, I didn't push the subject with either of them, since I couldn't afford losing Shane as a friend or Izzy as a roommate. Well, this lady has to go to the XWL gym in Concord to work on that article Professor Penniman assigned. What's your topic, anyway? You never said. He rubs the back of his neck, squeezing his eyes shut. Elizabeth's passion. The slow grin spreading across my face says it all. Hello, Shane. Meet Fate. You mean you'll actually have to talk to Izzy and... I fake a gasp. Ask for her help? I'm trying to find a way around it. Maybe my good friend here can help me out. This explains the cupcakes. What it doesn't explain is why Shane is doing everything he can to avoid my twin. They used to be cool with each other growing up. You don't want me anywhere near your assignment. I'm college poison, remember? He grimaces, knowing how right I am. Whatever issues you have with Izzy, get over them. I'm sure she's way past the subject. I talk about you all the time, and she's never said a word about you. She probably doesn't even remember who you are. By the flare of his nostrils, I realize I just said something incredibly stupid. I quickly backpedal. Don't worry, just talk to her. Anyway, wanna come with me? I slap his thigh. I could use his support. The grind makes me feel uncomfortable, and the possibility of running into Ty makes me feel even more self-conscious, so I'd really appreciate it if my best friend would tag along. I came this morning in the shower, but I would love to come again. The next thing he does happens very quickly. I feel his hand gripping my thigh. And not just for a moment, but he actually takes the time to squeeze. It takes me a few seconds to register what's happening. So sudden, so unexpected, so... crazy. My gape travels from my assaulted thigh to his teal eyes as I sit on the bar stool. Don't panic. Don't scream. Do not pull an Izzy. I bolt from my seat, rushing toward my bedroom. Need to get dressed. Be out in a sec. I choke, disappearing into my room. I rummage through my closet to make some noise. Maybe the clicking of the hangers will quiet the thoughts swirling in my head like a tornado ripping every single house, tree, and car in its way. My best friend made a pass at me out of the freaking blue. brain does not compute. I watch his frame in the reflection from my bedroom mirror as he runs his hand through his hair, probably thinking the exact same thing. This is bad. A calamity. A deal breaker. Oh, wait. His eyes lock on mine in the mirror. And I know exactly what he means. Driving to Concord, Shane and I try to regain our tension-free banter. We have this thing where he makes up stories to keep me entertained. They're always the stupidest stories ever. But he tells them with such conviction, you can't help but laugh your ass off. This time, he amuses me with a story about a baby anteater that went to boarding school with, you guessed it, ants. All the baby ants resent him and bully him for who he is, and he is lonely, sad, and isolated until he forms a punk band with a beaver and a frog, and they become a national sensation in the Portuguese forest where they all are living. No, we are definitely not smoking anything in the car. Yes, I'm aware this sounds mega stupid, but it's working. By the time we arrive at the gym, my stomach hurts from the cupcakes, laughing, and anticipation. We jump out of Shane's Mustang and enter the gym, and I actually feel a tad proud when I lead our way towards the rings where the MMA fighters train. I first noticed the enclosed platforms when I climbed the stairs with Ty yesterday. I made a mental note to check them out the next time I was here. Ich Will by Rammstein is blasting through the speakers. The beat drops, and bodies crush into one another violently, twisting and wrestling on the mats, mosh pit style. That one's called sparring. This place is crazy, B. You'll develop testicles by just breathing the air here. Shane is puffing out his cheeks. We stride towards Dawson, who's teaching a class. He is roaring at his students while they brawl. Shane's right. The levels of testosterone in this place are intoxicating. And the music blasting through the speakers is threatening to burst my eardrums. In fact, my BFF and I are the only people who aren't soaked in our own bodily fluids head to toe. I don't know about testicles, but I may sport a mustache by the end of this assignment. I lean on a red and white sign asking the gym goers to please clean up your blood after practice and keep our gym clean. Shane rests his leg on a nearby wall, arms folded on his chest. Marco, you drop to the ground, Dawson thunders. That's no good, man. The ground is your worst enemy. He's pacing back and forth and looks like he's about to explode. Marco Zero, Gravity One. Poor guy didn't stand a chance. I nudge Shane and we share a laugh. But the truth is, I'm impressed. These men are doing their own thing, inching closer to their dream one punch at a time. What am I doing with my life? They have determination, purpose. I want to feel as passionate about something as they do, sans the cracked limbs and mangled ears. I want to feel fulfilled and alive like them. Didn't you say your roommate is training here? I ask Shane. The dude has a gazillion roommates, each weirder than the other. I try to keep my communication with them to a minimum. This is a philosophy I apply to most of the human race. Yeah, Josh. Stopped coming here a while ago, though. Someone broke his nose. Damn, I say. Not that this comes as a surprise after the videos I watched. No wonder he said the place is full of jerks. Yeah, the asshole really screwed up his face. Good thing I prefer to express my masculinity by watching NFL and running every once in a while. After a few minutes of us silently looking at the guys dancing in semi-gay thigh grips and grunting like Anna Kournikova in a white skirt, Dawson approaches us. Yo, he says, shaking both our hands. You can talk to these guys if you want, or wait for my two stars to arrive. Remember, I told you about the two pros that are ranked super high in XWL? Jesse and Ty. They'll be happy to talk to you when they finish practice in 10 minutes. Shit. I didn't know Ty was one of the guys I was going to interview. I'm not sure he's going to be all that happy to talk to me, but my heart skips a beat the minute I hear his name. It's pounding all over the place. One second it beats fast enough to jump out of my ribcage, and the next, it's slow, and I almost feel faint. Get a grip, Blair. He's just a guy, and not a very nice one either. You okay? Shane rubs my arm, his eyebrows pinched together. I ease my arm away, still anxious about that earlier thigh grip. Yeah, cupcake overdose is all. If this is my reaction to hearing Ty's name, I'm dreading the thought of what's going to happen when I actually see him in the flesh. There they are, the men of the hour.
Dawson raises his hands to greet his approaching stars. Ty strides toward us, accompanied by a taller, even more muscular black guy. Jesse, I guess. Between them, they have enough tattoos to cover the whole of NorCal. They swagger toward us like B-movie gangsters. There's something incredibly cocky about the way they carry themselves. Everything, from their posture to their clothes to the way they chew their gum and the smug little glint in their eyes. I'm guessing that Dawson referring to them as his stars doesn't help with piercing their inflated egos.
This is the definition of douchebagism, Shane complains in my ear.
Figures. Sucks to be him, or anyone else with a dick in this room for that matter. Talk about alpha male dominance.
Ty's sleeveless shirt is soaked with sweat, and he's pulling its hem up so he can wipe off his forehead, revealing perfect abs.
Not a four-pack with a pouch, but a solid, I can't believe it's not photoshopped, six-pack.
I don't find his sweat disgusting. At all. In fact, I wouldn't have minded snuggling into this shirt tonight. Or snuggling into him.
Sheesh, I need to get over this thing, whatever it is, fast. Hormones are bullying brain again, even though brain knows better than the like tie.
He was straight up rude the first time we met when he plucked the blunt out of my lips. He's cocky. He is trouble. And most of all, he is a distraction. I need to get this assignment over with. I need to graduate. No, I must graduate. Hormones can keep on dreaming. The next thing I notice is a huge welt on Ty's ribcage. I have an unexpected urge to stroke his skin, to soothe away the pain. Why does he make me want to touch him? I don't normally fall in lust with men I don't know.
Meet Ty and Jesse, Dawson proclaims proudly. This is the reporter I was telling you about.
Blake, Ty cuts through Dawson's introduction and winks at me. Blair, I correct. I take a deep breath and try to look indifferent about his mistake. I'm not a girl who's into Cosmo and glamour and stuff, but even I know if a guy doesn't remember your name, you shouldn't expect a call from him anytime soon. It's weird shaking hands with him now. Yesterday, his lips were inches from mine in the parking lot when he snatched that roll-up out of my mouth, and he didn't seem too eager to talk when he showed me to Dawson's office. I'm expecting him to crush my clammy palm, but he treats me like a fragile doll. Before he lets go of my hand, he circles my knuckle with his thumb. A small gesture, but it makes the rest of my body tingle with pleasure. Shane, however, is not awarded with the same treatment. Ty almost rips off his arm when he shakes it. Shane's limb practically waves in the air like a dancing balloon man. Shane jerks his hand free, massaging his wrist.
Why don't you look around for a while? I need to ask these guys some questions, I quickly explain.
It was my idea to bring Shane with me, but I'm beginning to regret it. I need to focus on my task, to get this assignment over with and to get the hell out of here. What I don't need is more complications.
Ask away.
Shane hooks an arm over my shoulder and thrusts out his jaw. It's an I'm pissing on my territory face. There's no other way to describe the look of challenge he shoots at Ty. Ty's nostrils flare as he stares Shane down. If looks could kill, forensics would be all over these two. Everyone falls awkwardly silent.
Fuck this shit. I'm out, coach.
Ty grabs a towel from a nearby bench and drapes it over his close-cropped head. He walks away, not even bothering to grab his duffel bag.
What the hell is his problem?
I eye Jesse, who offers me a half-apologetic smile.
Ty's ego is bigger than his head. He'll come around. Let's do this interview, kid.
We sit on blue plastic bleachers in front of a cage. I spend 30 minutes with Jesse Clement. He's witty and amusing and gives good quotes. In fact, he's journalistic gold. He speaks frankly about taboos like steroids and performance-enhancing drugs, about the reaction of people who hear he beats the shit out of guys for a living, and how sometimes the same guys beat the shit out of him. Every warrior in the XWL loses a battle every once in a while. Even the champs. Why MMA, though? That's what I don't get. You look like you could have been an athlete in any sport. Why pick something so... barbaric, dangerous, controversial? I could go on forever, but I leave it hanging in the air. I take a quick glance at his tattoos. Jesse is inked head to toe, fingertips included. I wonder if he realizes he'll have to walk around with these old and saggy when it looks about as cool as my dad's stamp collection. I didn't choose MMA. It chose me. Jesse cuts off my line of thought. Cliche as it sounds, you gotta play the hand you've been dealt in life. Growing up in the projects, I had to fight to live. There were thugs everywhere, and they always wanted something. My money, my food, my new shoes. And sometimes they just wanted cheap entertainment. I survived with my fists, medicated on street fights. Then, at some point, I don't remember when exactly, fighting became a therapy and no longer a necessity. A way to take out my anger on this world. I stare down. It hadn't crossed my mind that Jesse wasn't in another sport because he didn't have the cushy upbringing I've had. That's all good, though. I make good money doing what I do, and I love it. I get to travel the world, meet new people, and stay in great shape all year round. Personally, I have a steady girlfriend that I adore, but if I hadn't met her, it's always a plus when chicks dig your job. What, MMA? I raise an eyebrow. That's right, he grins. Somehow I find that hard to believe. My experience with competitive fighting might consist only of playing Tekken once or twice in my life, but even I can see it's thuggish and about as appealing as bathing in your own vomit. Jesse lets out a loud laugh, like I just told him the earth is flat and populated by glittery unicorns. He's on the verge of tears, holding his stomach when he finally says, "Ask Tyler. He'll tell you all about the fangirls." Tyler? Yep, yeah, that's Ty's name, Tyler Wilder. Tyler Wilder. Looky here. Looks like I have a name to Google. Before you make any assumptions, I suggest you hit one of our classes and see what the fuss is all about. If you're going to write about it, you need to try it, no? I drop my head back and sigh, knowing he's right. I know Dawson wants me to try it out, and a happy Dawson means a happy interviewee. Okay, I say, feeling pushed into the corner. Jesse gets up from his seat and chuckles to himself. Besides, you kinda look like a tomboy. I think you'll have fun. When Jesse and I climb down from the bleachers, Ty is waiting for us, leaning against a doorframe, ankles crossed, eyebrows raised, and arms folded. He grits his teeth when I pass him, a devilish look in his eyes. I flip him the bird as I stroll over to join Shane, trying to look like I'm bored with his antics. Jesse nudges Ty's ribs. What's good, bro? Ty is jerking his chin at me when he returns gruffly. Nothing's good. And there goes the neighborhood. Chapter 3. I fill up a bath and wait for Izzy's scheduled call. Sliding into the water, I dunk my head, still fuming about Ty Wilder. How dare he bail on the interview I need? And why is he so bitchy after Jesse and I came back? And did I mention he is not my type? Because he isn't. The phone rings. Izzy! Babe! She yells. My arm is already stretched to avoid the unfortunate scenario where her voice will make my head explode. Where's your skinny ass today? I ask. Australia. Sydney is amazing. You should see the harbor. Everything here is so expensive, but they have the best burgers and cutest accent. And the men! Blair, the men are just to die for. This is almost my last stop. Only 8 or so more weeks before I'm coming home. I'm happy for her. Of course I am. I tell her everything about Ty and Shane. Izzy's take is that Ty likes me, and he went all cold on me because he thought Shane was my boyfriend. I don't know much about this world, but I can smell flirting from a mile with earplugs and a trash bag over my head. This Ty guy? He was definitely flirting. Now Google his ass before I do. I will steal him. You bet I will, soul sister. I finish my bath in a hurry, make myself a giant cup of coffee, and mentally prepare myself for some earnest, unforgiving, journalistic investigating. That's right. I'm Googling Tyler Wilder. The first thing I discover is that Ty has his own Wikipedia page. It doesn't give much detail about him, but it exists. He also has a Facebook fan page with over 200,000 likes, but doesn't have a private Facebook that I can connect to. I map out my plan for research. I'll start with Ty so I can come up with good questions for when I interview him. Then I'll move on and see what I can find out about Jesse and Dawson. I establish some basic info first. Wilder is 26 years old. He was born in Martinez and has lived in Northern California his whole life. He currently resides in Concord and is an avid Harley-Davidson fan. His favorite color is black, shocking, I know, and his culinary weakness is Mexican food. There are some crazy hot pictures of him on Google Images, including a few where he's in a tux at an MMA charity ball 2 years ago. I also find lots of YouTube videos of him thrashing his opponents to knockouts and submissions. He is the darling of winning by decision, too. Ty's ring nickname is the Zombie. It suits him perfectly with that ugly snake skull tattoo. To add a personal touch, he always breezes out of the tunnel and enters the ring to Zombie by the Cranberries, an angry grunge tune I overplayed as a teenager. It sends a chill down my spine every time I watch him walk out of those tunnels in one of the videos. Beer dripping on his head as the crowd erupts with screams, people clutching their beer cups, roaring and chanting. His lower face is always covered with the skull bandana, and he's looking at his opponents like he's going to butcher them alive. Every time the cage door shuts and I hear the secure click, the audience leaps to its feet in anticipation. Not everyone is rooting for Ty, but everyone respects him. He frequently wins by decision, which is prestigious, I guess. His wrestling and Muay Thai background makes him lethal in the cage, and his left hook is the best in the XWL, if the rumors online are true. One of the commenters in a video where Ty sends a dude straight to the ER with a broken nose and blood streaming from his forehead points out, "Man, Wilder is ruthless. He shattered the dude to pieces like taco shells." Another commenter adds, "I love the intensity in his eyes. Truly the gladiator of our time. He is an animal and tall for the welterweight division. Most strikers don't stand a chance getting inside his reach." I read comment after comment. People praise him, curse him, love him and hate him, fear him and respect him. I seem to share those mixed feelings. He attracts me and repulses me at the same time, like a car crash. Only, I worry I'll be one of the casualties involved. I quickly realize why Jesse was oh so amused with me, thinking women don't find this sport attractive. Desperate female fans are found in toxic quantities with every video I watch. Nearly every match online of him knocking out an opponent bears endless comments from adoring women like, "I watched this video 3 times, once with the door locked, winky face." And the less understated, "I want to sit on his gorgeous face, call me Ty." Cue to pass the puke bucket, please. Evidently, I was wrong. Women like men who play hockey, football, basketball, and golf. Okay, scratch golf. Women love men who know how to fight. Ty's ranking in the welterweight division is impressive, with experts predicting that he or Irish Owen Doherty could take the title from Brazilian Jesus Vasquez this year. I spend the night gorging on info about Ty Wilder, creating a self-feeding monster. The more I find out about him, the more I crave. It's 3 a.m. when I finally slam the laptop screen with a bang, exhaling sharply. Yes, I will research Jesse and Dawson, but I'll do it tomorrow. Tonight, I've seen enough. On Wednesday, I decide to bite the bullet and take a class at the gym. The workout is both research and minor damage control, seeing as Shane is coming over tonight for our delayed Walking Dead marathon, and he's bringing enough junk food to clog every artery in my body. Yeah, I guess Sunday is forgiven, despite the thigh-gripping incident. Plus, I'm pretty sure taking a class will get Dawson and Jesse off my case, and I want to play nice with them. They've already helped me a lot, even when I emailed them each 3 times on Sunday. I park my pink Mini in an exceptionally busy XWL parking lot, but this time, there's no sign of Ty. Not that I'm looking for him. Ginger-bearded guy welcomes me at the desk with a big smile and even calls me Blair a few times just to prove he remembers my name. He also introduces himself as Scott, which I admit is far catchier than ginger-bearded guy. So what class should I take? I study the schedule on the board behind the desk. Every single class sounds foreign and intimidating. Muay Thai, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, taekwondo. I run my hand over my hair with frustration. Guess there's no point asking when the next yoga class is. There's either kickboxing with Jesse or jiu-jitsu with Tyler. Both start at 6 o'clock. I think I'll get a better grip of how things work if I take kickboxing. Plus, Jesse's a cool dude, so that's a no-brainer. Kickboxing, please. Cool. Go all the way straight, and it's the first door on the right. Ask Jesse for the gear. Break a leg, babe. Trust me, Scott, with my luck, I just might. I stroll into class, and even though I'm 10 minutes early, there are already 15 people inside, chatting to each other and swapping class-related advice while guarding their favorite spots. They obviously know one another and are comfortable as a group, and they all have boxing gloves, mouth guards, and kickboxing gear. Being the newbie, I keep to myself. Which is easy, since no one talks to me. A pang of excitement pierces through me. I've always been the sporty one, Izzy being the delicate, girly twin. Me? I climbed trees, rolled around the mud, and even played soccer. This could actually be fun, I try telling myself. 5 minutes later, the door swings open and Jesse walks in, hands on his hips. I sheepishly wave to him, grateful for his welcoming smile. He looks surprised to see me. I'd be surprised to see me, too. But the truth is, Dawson pushed me to participate in a class, and I definitely don't want to piss him off. I need to nail this baby down if I'm ever going to get my degree. Jesse hands me an old pair of boxing gloves. They match my lazy attire of black yoga pants and pink loose crop top I borrowed from Izzy's closet. I listen patiently when he explains what we're going to work on today, and not along with everyone else, even though he might as well be speaking in tongues. He's using kickboxing lingo, and I pretty much understand only every fourth word. My mind drifts, and I'm zoning out. I want an ice cream sandwich. I should probably stop eating so much sugar. Is the new Arctic Monkeys album out? I need to buy it. Hey, whatever happened to that kid from The Shining? My grave contemplations are interrupted when the door flings wide again. Ty swings it with force, testosterone pouring from every cell in his body. Behind him is a large group of students wearing head and knee guards. My mouth turns dry just from seeing him. He's wearing a wife beater, black fight shorts, and a baseball cap. The chatter stops, and all the women stare at him like he's a red velvet brownie. His hawk eyes are scanning the faces, searching, until they land on little old me. His gaze narrows, and he shoots me a hard-edged smile. He found what he was looking for. A word, bro? He asks Jesse in an even voice, but his dark eyes are still trained on me. They huddle in the corner for less than a minute, bobbing their heads in agreement before Jesse claps his hands and announces, "Okay, class, change of plans. Today, we'll have a special class. We'll mash and mix up the techniques and do both traditional kickboxing and jiu-jitsu. You will be paired with the other class and you'll work together. Both Tyler and I will be instructing this class, so this should be pretty damn good." Yep, that's definitely it for me. Trying kickboxing with Jesse might have been okay, but there's no way I'm chancing public humiliation under Ty's watchful eye. Every time I'm around him, I feel like my limbs don't belong to me. I can't use them when he's watching my every move. I'm leaving. I casually start for the door, resisting the urge to tiptoe, and I'm about to reach for the knob when a big, warm hand snakes around me and grasps my wrist. God damn it. "And where do you think you're going?" It's Ty, his voice filled with amusement. The asshat. "Me? Oh, I think I'm just going to pass today. I'm not really into jiu-jitsu." I try to sound cool. "You don't know what it is," he says matter-of-factly. "Hence I'm not into it," I deadpan. He shakes his head no and moves closer to me. I notice he does it a lot, invading people's personal space. I guess it comes with the territory of the occupation. You know, like thigh-hugging a guy's head in your crotch to cut off his blood supply until he passes out. That kind of thing. "You're staying." "Thanks for the offer, but no." Was there a question mark in my voice? It wasn't an offer. Douchebag much? "I'm sorry, okay, but I really don't want to do this now. I thought we'd be punching bags or something. I don't think I fit in here at all. I hate violence. Please get out of my way." My eyes are furious, and I hope they are shooting lava darts at his silky black pupils. "Bullshit," he smirks, his dimples deepening. "You love violence." Every woman does.
Excuse me? I huff. He circles closer, like a predator zeroing in on its prey. The air freezes. Everyone around us seems to disappear. I have his undivided attention, and I have no clue what to do with it.
Are you calling me a liar?
I try to keep my voice steady. He's pissing me off. I have a feeling he is assuming that I see whatever other girls find alluring in him. Watch him through the same veil of lusty desire. Well, he's wrong.
I'm calling you a liar and a bullshitter. All girls like violence. Every woman wants to mate with the victorious warrior. It's okay, Blair. It's in your DNA. Don't feel bad about it.
His mouth curves into a devastating smile as he brushes his thumb down my spine.
What?
Brain finally kicks hormones in the gut, grabs the gun at its temple, and throws the weapon to the far corner of the room. I ball up my fist and wave it at him.
I'm warning you, I hiss. If you don't take 3 steps back from me this instant, you'll regret it.
I'd never hurt a fly, but he doesn't need to know that, right?